Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
What's going on? I'm having a lovely time. Yeah, all good, man. Just same old. Still rattling towards a holiday, getting stuff sorted, getting stuff finished. And that's the thing about getting away. Before you go, you're really, really busy. When you get back, you're really, really busy. And you get about 3 days in the middle where you sort of go, well, this was worth it. This was worth it. But above all, I hope everyone's happy. I hope everyone is content. And for those of them who aren't either of those things, I hope that they're safe. And that's the main thing, I think, in this crazy world.
What a lovely man. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't had what I would class as a holiday in when was 2019? Mm. Whatever 2019 was.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
When you've got a job like yours, Chris, you never work a day in your life, as they say. When you find something that you love, you never work a day in your life.
If only it were so. It's true, like, you know, I enjoy what I do, and that makes... It makes it a lot easier. And the same for you, right? You do 458 podcasts every week, every day, but you enjoy it. And I enjoy what I do. But at the same time, like I do need to just switch off. I have found recently having a bath is a wonderful thing. Mm. That's my moment of solace where I can cut off from the world, cut off from the internet. I sit in the bath, sometimes 2 to 3 hours. When I come out, I'm like a shriveled old man. I look like 50 years old. It's not good, but it's just nice. I think also because it's winter, right? It's bloody freezing up here. We've got lots of snow. It's nice to retreat to the bath and just sit there and just... be like a snow monkey.
What's your in a hot spring with little snow icicles forming on your chin? Is there like, what is your kind of normal dress when it comes to? Because I've seen you in like big sort of overcoats when you were up in where were we? Sapporo for the snow festival.
Right.
What's your usual kind of like? How do you prepare for going outside in Sendai? It's very snowy. It's very slushy. Have you got a good pair of boots? Do you wear thermals? How does that all work? And when is it going to start to get warmer for you?
I thought you were going to ask, what do you wear in the bath?
What do you wear in the bath, Chris?
Wear in the bath? Well, nothing. I've been wearing a lot of heat tech. Do you know what heat tech is? It's all the rage in Japan.
You get it in Uniqlo, don't you? It's kind of like
nice, warm, it's a Uniqlo thing.
Huggy.
It's like
stuff.
Bulletproof cotton clothes. You get like little trousers and you get the top. It's nice. And that's sort of, you put that under whatever you're wearing and you can sort of get through anything. When I was in Niseko Ski Resort with Trash Taste Guys, I wore that and then I wore a jumper over it and a ski jacket. It is pretty brutal here. I do just wear like a heat tech top with a jumper and a coat and a scarf and I'm good to go. That's it.
Do you find yourself when you go down into the underground, if you go on the underground, do you find yourself just overheating? Mm. That's the problem with dressing for winter and then having to go somewhere warm in a shop or on a train or whatever. It's just a bit of a pain because you just overheat a little bit. That's what I think.
I mean, it's not that bad. It's really first world problems. I get on the underground with my...
Well, look, this is all about... look, 20 things you must know when you go to Japan
latte.
When it's cold. This is, look, I got through that Sapporo Snow Festival by going at 7-Elevens and buying those little heat packs that you open up and give a shake and they get warm in your hands because the chemicals react with each other.
When I get on the underground, adorned with my hot clothing, I'm holding my Starbucks cold brew coffee.
Exactly.
And the cold brew coffee cools
exactly.
me down.
Well, you've got you've always got coffee in your hand, so you know.
Pete Donaldson's first world problems. No, it is bad though. Like, it does, you know, I know what you mean. I don't ride the subway. I take helicopter or taxi. To be fair, I do use taxis a lot more because of COVID. It's like I can justify using a taxi now because I just want to keep away from people. So don't even go on the underground now.
Okay.
I enjoy my cold brew coffee from the back of a fantrabulous taxi. What a monster I am. We've got one here from Chris. A story of the week from Chris. Great name, Chris. Well done. It begins, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. I thought I would tell you about my dramatic first-day experience in Tokyo. I was heading there for a week, but I'd been fairly ill in the lead-up to the trip, and I checked into my flight at Heathrow. When I got to the boarding gate, I was held to one side by the person at the gate. I was told the flight had been overbooked and I wasn't allowed on. This, plus my relatively ill state, almost tipped me over the edge. 45 minutes later, though, I was on a direct flight that got me into Tokyo earlier than my original flight, and with £400 compensation. That's incredible. Pretty much the full airfare that I'd paid. And £40 worth of meal vouchers. I was on my way and buzzing to hit the lights of Tokyo. I landed in Tokyo and headed straight to Book and Bed, where I was staying in Shinjuku." That's interesting. Book and Bed's a capsule hotel. It's quite famous. I've always wanted to go to. It's it looks like a library, and then in between the books they've got capsules where you can sleep and whatnot. Really cool looking place.
Cool.
Book and Bed. Cool place. Very quirky. Very clever. Most capsule hotels are very austere looking places, and Book and Bed's got the right idea. I dropped off my bags with two things on my mind. Takoyaki. Fried octopus balls and virtual reality. I ate the most unimaginable amount of takoyaki and headed across to the Shinjuku VR Center, choosing Mario Kart as my experience of choice. Strapped into a cart with a headset on, I was ready to go. I was about 20 years older than the local teens racing their way around the virtual raceway, but who cares? I was in Tokyo, living my best life as a solo traveler. Mid-race, though, I started to feel the illness and long flight kick in. Motion sickness became a big factor, and I instantly regretted eating half my body weight in fried octopus balls. I suddenly felt all the life drain out of me, and that is all I remember. I was awoken, slumped halfway out of the Mario Kart experience, with the attendant fanning me and flicking my face with water. I'd also gathered a small crowd of around 25 people who were understandably enjoying my discomfort. The takoyaki had made a reappearance. I was swiftly ushered around by an angry-looking manager and sheepishly headed to sleep it off. I can safely say it's not the greatest start to my Tokyo adventure, but nonetheless, a memorable one. Finally, I had a career change at the age of 37, and I'm retraining to become a zookeeper, like Pete Donaldson was. Have a great one, guys. Chris. Poor old Chris. A story that started well with a nice moment and quickly spiraled out of control. I love it. I tell you, you might think it's bad when like an airline screws you over like that, but I've got on a premium economy flight for free because it was overbooked once when I flew to Japan, and they were like, "We've put you in premium economy," and I got to put my feet up and I slept for the first time on a plane ever.
But you never it's never useful to you, because I've had that before where it's like, oh, they've offered you money to, you know, a considerable amount of money to get off the flight or whatever. But it's never for me, my holidays, I go straight from work to holiday. There's never any buffer. There's never any fudge time. There's never any wiggle room. I always have to sort of go from one thing to the next. So it's kind of like, I'd always from Japan, I'd always be landing at Heathrow at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go straight into doing, well, a podcast or, you know, doing this and that. So I never give myself any kind of decompression time. I just sort of hit the ground running. So it's never good for me. It's never useful. I'll never accept these challenges. I'll never accept this money to delay my flight at all.
What would you have done in that situation then? What would you have done in Chris's shoes?
I don't know. I mean, the situation was that
they put him on an earlier flight.
Yeah. I'd demand a business class seat, I think. Yeah, definitely.
Whoa. That would be pretty good, actually.
No, it would be pretty
I've never
good.
Got that happen. But, it's just a shame it didn't end well. But sorry to hear that, Chris. I'm glad. God, the idea of just... I mean, I said earlier that I wanted to go to this book and bed capsule hotel, but I couldn't imagine a worse place to be if you're sick, going to a capsule hotel, because it's going to be, you're going to be in like a little tiny, what can only be described as a coffin, essentially. If you need to be sick in a hurry, you have to like run across the whole room with all these people everywhere to try and find the toilet.
Yeah.
In book and bed's case, you've got books fucking flying off shelves. We've got, you know, it's not ideal. I can't say I want to stay in a capsule hotel again for that reason. Dear, oh dear. All right, Pete, what we got? Story of the week. News of the week, rather.
News of the week.
You're the newsman.
Yeah, I'm the newsman. You're the story man. Deal with it, yeah. Chris, when I was a kid in Hartlepool, Hartlepool's not known. It's known. It's quite a historical town. We, you know, we've talked about before the monkey hanging, the Hartlepool monkey that we hung in during the French Revolution, etc. French
great
invasion.
People.
It's interesting. When I was a kid, in the Grey Art Gallery, I think it was the Art Gallery. Either way, it was a museum in Hartlepool. The thing that fascinated me the most about this, the amount of stuff that was in this this museum, Hartlepool Museum, was they had like a mermaid, like the skeleton of a mermaid. When I was a kid.
What?
And obviously mermaids don't exist. Sorry to burst anyone's little bubble.
What?
But in Hartlepool, there was this mummy that someone had created back in like Victorian times to enchant and amaze the Hartlepoodlians of the town. And it's the thing that sort of sticks out with me, basically. And so Japan's got
what is
a few.
Wrong with your town?
I know.
Monkeys
we're
and
just
fucking
like
mermaids.
Tricking each other. We had mermaid skeletons in our
not much to do in Hartlepool, is there?
No. So it was the thing that I was thinking. It was that and like a furry fish that someone had made this fish that was covered in fur. So they'd sort of grafted a lot of fur from an animal onto the side of a fish, and they basically said, "Look, I've caught like a furry salmon or a furry skate or a furry whatever." and so this furry fish and this mermaid skeleton was the thing that always enchanted me and confused me when I was a kid. But scientists in Japan have finally got their hands on the Japanese mermaid mummy. A mermaid mummy kept at a temple has been an object of worship, the stuff of nightmares and the source of mystery for hundreds of years. Now, for the first time, a project has started to scientifically analyse the mummified creature, which has the upper body of a human and the lower body of a fish. The Kurashiki University of Science and the Arts plan to announce their findings around autumn, but this dried mermaid in a box apparently was caught in a fishing net on the coast of Kochi Prefecture between 1736 and 1741. And a Kojima family in Bingo Fukuyama province bought the mummy before it was passed on to the owners after the turn of the Meiji era in 1912, and then it just ended up at a temple. But it's been put on display in a glass case for 40 years, and now it's kept in a fireproof safe to prevent deterioration. And a university of science and arts have got their hands on this dirty old mermaid mummy, and they're analysing the relic to see what, like, how it kind of came about, how it got put together, what the constituent parts were. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, looking at the mermaid, we're looking at like either a child's corpse or a young woman's corpse, I suppose, in the museum in Hartlepool. And so, like, at some point, that would have been a human, you know, a human person. And what a terrible fate to befall you. You die and you end up just, you know, being turned into a curiosity, a mermaid, effectively, and gets put on the wall in the underwhelming halls of the Hartlepool Museum for a young Pete Donaldson to look at it.
It looks really kind of, well, it looks very bizarre.
Yeah.
It's the size of like a baby.
Yeah.
With the head of a human, the hands of a human, the upper torso of a human, but the lower half is just a fish tail. And it, you know, I this is really kind of creepy. Just type if you're listening, just type in like I typed in like Japan mermaid mummy and some pretty graphic and bizarre photos have like come up. This isn't the only one I've seen. There's a few of these. They've got I tried to go on Journey Across Japan too. We went to we passed around that Fuji area, and there's a temple that had something very similar to this. Another one, and we tried to go and get it and get access, but we just could not find whoever like run the temple didn't have a phone number. We couldn't like get permission to get in there.
Yeah,
unfortunately. But like, there's a lot of this sort of yokai stuff going on in Japan, this is one of the more like credible looking things.
Yeah.
I mean, part of me thinks, is it just a like a, in the same way like a doll, a toy doll or whatever?
Yeah.
Is it just that? Is it like a fake thing?
I mean, it doesn't look like
a skeleton. Looks like a mummy, right?
It does. Do you not think it looks quite full of face compared to a lot of mummies that you see? Because they're always so like they. It doesn't look chunky. I mean, it's tiny. This thing. It's like the size of a. It's at best. It's the skeleton of a baby. Unfortunately, it's a very sad
story. Where did the tail
come
from?
Baby fish. I don't know. Relatively large fish, you'd imagine. How did they put it together? How did they stitch it together? How did they glue it together? It's all amazing, really. It's all really amazing stuff, has to be said. Fantastic.
I mean, the only thing that adds credibility to this, I guess, is that there's actually a professor at a university specializing in paleontology who's looking at the morphology analysis and actually taking it seriously. So, obviously. It must have been a living organism at some point. It's not like a fake thing that's been made. But he's going to examine the antiseptic treatment of the well-preserved mummy. He's going to dig a bit deeper. But 300 years old, caught in a fishing net in the 1700s, could it be a real-life mummy? I'm not going to hold my hopes up. I think something rather more sinister happened here, involving a baby and someone with a very poor taste in stitching things together. I don't know. What's your theory?
They've just some maniac has just went, I can make a bit of money out of this, and found a baby, found a fish.
Yeah,
like that pineapple pen man in Japan. He's like the 17th, 18th century version of the pineapple pen man. That's basically what he's doing, putting something together, making something new. Fantastic.
It's genuinely the only explanation I can find of. Well, either that sort of very gory, very dismal perspective, or mermaids are real. And if you like The Little Mermaid, you know, as I do, great film, fantastic film. It could be an exciting day indeed, but probably the former and not the latter. We'll be back with the fax machine, your comments, stories and questions, guys, in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Heather from Athens. Is that Georgia? Yes, Georgia. I'm from Athens, Georgia in the USA, not the better Athens in Greece. Don't put your Athens down, Heather. Come on. Pete, I think you mentioned visiting Alandra at one point. Did you have a good time? I did have a good time. It was a lot of fun. I rocked around the bars and night spots of Atlanta for 3 or 4 days. Did I go to Martin Luther King's house? That is? I think so. Wore a three-piece suit that was way too warm for the temperature. I'm actually writing to see if Chris has any future plans to visit a country outside of the obvious trip back home to England. Is there a country with more lax COVID restrictions than that you've been eyeing for a trip once Japan relaxes a little? It would be brilliant seeing you and Natsuki experience the southern USA. Heather from Athens, Georgia. I'd love to see Natsuki in Texas. Cowboy boots, Stetson. A fake gun, probably not a great idea, but, you know, I could just imagine. Oh, wow, that'll be amazing. I'll come with you.
I'd love to do that. Natsuki and I have been talking for years about going to the US. And,
yeah.
I think if it does happen, it'll be more likely next year than this one, just because by next year, hopefully the COVID thing will have finally been swept under a rug. But, I'd love to go. I honestly would. In the meantime, the country I want to visit the most in Asia is probably Taiwan. Or say revisit. I want to go and have a wander around Taipei. And I want to go to Spain for a holiday.
Mm.
It sounds very British, doesn't it? Spain, drink some beer, sit on the beach. But I just want to sit on a beach. I do want to do it. Yeah. I want to go back to the town that I went to as a kid in Spain and feel nostalgic and feel a sense of pride.
Mm.
Walk along the fucking beach and be like, wow, look how far I've come. And get a suntan. And burn my face. We've got one here from Heather who says, "Hiya, Chris and Pete." Hang on, that's the one you just read out. You skipped over a question.
Oh, looks like I did. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
You're supposed to be a top radio DJ.
Roll it back to Tyler's question then, please.
All right, Tyler. We got one here for Tyler. Good day, Chris and Pete. Chris the director and Pete the enthusiast. I'm Tyler, reaching out from the state of Maine in the US. I've been taking Japanese courses within my university, and I'll be studying at Hirosaki University spring of 2023. Recently, I was doing an online partnership course with Japanese students trying to learn English. Talking about music, I mentioned that I love Billy Joel. While most students didn't know who he was, their professor, Noro-sensei, did. In fact, he was ecstatic. Before moving forward, he interrupted and said, "Excuse me, Tyler-san, I'm so sorry in advance. I do not want to offend you or make you feel uncomfortable. So please, I apologise, but I'm just curious. What got you into listening to Billy Joel?" Again, it is a little too personal of a question, so if you don't want to answer, you don't have to. Now, in American standards, that was far from a personal question, yet in Nordo-sensei's view, it was too personal. So now I'm lost. Is it actually an aspect of the culture to avoid personal questions? Kind regards, Tyler. That question, it kind of got weird at the second half. I was expecting like an interesting story about how Tyler likes Billy Joel or some sort of like explanation. As opposed to, I don't know why that would be personal. I think just a very polite Japanese professor is the answer to that one. I don't think there's any more to it. You know, people can be over polite in Japan and whatnot, but that's I won't worry. Don't worry.
Do you hide your
asking
love
people
for
if you
the
like
piano
Billy Joel
man under a bushel, Chris? Is that what you get up to?
It's too personal. Yeah. It's too personal, Pete. Don't ask such questions. But no, don't worry. There's nothing personal about that. That's one of the most least personal questions you have to worry about. We've got one here from Nicholas. Where's Hirosaki? Do you know where that is?
I can't remember where that is. No.
All through reading that question, all I could think about was where the devil's Hirosaki. I'll let you read out the next question while
all
I
right.
find out.
You can
find
out.
I want to know.
This one comes from Nicholas from Seattle, Washington, USA. Dear charitable Chris and philanthropist Pete, we have all heard people asking about tattoos and what to do, but what about body and facial piercings? I have a not-so-noble amount of metal bits in my face, and I'm curious on how the perception is on body modifications. Will the locals not bat an eye? Or will they be thinking, am I cosplaying as a fisherman's tackle box? Smashing stuff. Many people with piercings in their face and stuff, flesh tunnels, trinkets, this and that, hanging off their features, Chris.
It's rare, isn't it?
It is rare.
I've forgotten what face piercings look like. We talked about it the other week where you had like a tongue piercing, right?
Mm, exactly. And I was clack, clack, clack.
Weirded out by that.
Yeah.
That gets to me. Ears fine. I know Joey, the anime man, got his ears pierced recently. Mm. That fits his cool persona though, doesn't it? I'm not cool enough for that. But I know that if you have a piercing, it can be difficult to get a job in Japan. So work-wise, probably avoid piercings if you want to have a job in Japan. Mm. But as a, you know, coming here as a tourist, I wouldn't worry. You'd probably get a few stares. A few people might look here and there.
Yeah.
Because it is a rare sight. But
children,
yeah,
especially.
I don't think people look down on it. There'll be an air of curiosity. Mm. You'll be treated like a wonderful foreign object.
Yeah.
You'll be like, wow, look at his pierced face. Don't worry about it. But I looked up Hirosaki, by the way. It's in Aomori. I don't know how I forgot that.
Yeah,
it's like my
favourite
city in Aomori. What idiot.
What God an idiot.
It. I love Hirosaki.
Come on.
It's a great place to study.
Yeah.
Well done, Tyler. Good apples. Some of the best cider in Japan there. You've picked the right place. Well done, Tyler. Don't drink too much. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And we'll see you right back here. Do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.